Hey everyone, welcome to the Leadership Locker. My name is Rich Cardona, and on this podcast, we dig through the lessons of today's most exceptional leaders to help you break through your barriers. If you're trying to progress your career, if you are trying to accelerate your entrepreneurial journey, which I know you all are, if you're looking to have a smoother transition out of the military because it is incredibly difficult, then you're in the right place. My guests and I are going to give you the tools and the resources to accelerate your curve, help you surge, and just crush it. So here we go.
Hey, this is Rich Cardona, host of the Leadership Locker. This is my opportunity to tell you a little bit about me and how this whole thing came to be and why I'm even doing it. Let's keep it short and simple. In high school, I was a punk, somehow managed to get pretty decent grades, but I was very much into drugs and alcohol and trying to be popular and just doing all the wrong things, just like many of us do in high school. So junior year, through another friend who was headed kind of down the wrong path, we met a Marine recruiter. I talked to this Marine recruiter. He gave me the ultimate used car salesman story, and I signed up for what's called the delayed entry program. Essentially, I enlisted in the Marine Corps as a junior. The obligation was after senior year, I go into the Marine Corps. So I was still doing drugs. I was still drinking and doing crazy things. I went into the Marine Corps, and that was it, right? That's the end of the story. No, it's the first time in my life I was ever self-aware, and I realized that I didn't want to settle. And not settling is not necessarily due to a lack of options, but not settling is just, you know, who am I? What do I want to do? Do I want to do what everyone else is doing? I see a path that most people are taking. Should I do something a little bit different? And the answer was very simple for me. So I joined the Marine Corps. I had the plan of getting discipline and you know, getting money for college and getting the GI Bill. Well, I joined in 1998. So 3 years into that thing, 9/11 happened. I re-enlisted within a couple weeks, did some good things. Next thing I know, it's been 17 years and I'm retiring as a captain when I had started off as a private. And a story within the story there is simple. I was an enlisted Marine. I didn't want to be enlisted forever. I decided to apply for an officer transition program because I'd rather be wearing some brass than be enlisted. I wanted to be kind of helping give the orders rather than just taking them. And I was the only person in my battalion who applied. So I got into this program and there, that's it. And this is all to say, I just didn't feel like settling. You know, I just didn't feel like settling. So I gave it a shot and things worked out. So let's just get real closer to the present. I spent 17 years in the Marine Corps. That entire 17 years shaped my life. I can never forget it. I can never stop giving back. My service after service is extremely important to me. And I had a rough transition. I went to USC to get an MBA because I thought I needed an MBA. I worked really shitty sales consulting job for a military organization who, to me, was just not fulfilling their promises or their getting the most ROI for their clients. There was shady stuff going on. It just wasn't for me, so I left. That MBA I got from USC landed me a job at Amazon. When I went to Amazon, I knew pretty much within the first training day that this is probably the wrong move. I mean, that early. My instincts are right. Usually, I feel like a lot of us know our gut feels, and going against them usually results in a bad thing. So I stayed for 2 years, although I made a bad name for myself personnel-wise, meaning I tried to get out of that role pretty freaking quickly. I talked to people about it. I confided in people, and I over-confided, and it was just a big mess. However, being the Marine I was and then having the work ethic that, you know, my father instilled in me as a kid and having everything I got from the Marine Corps, I mean, I worked my face off, had amazing results, plenty of success, very high achiever, and, you know, went on as an operations manager to do the same. However, I was changing day by day. Like, who I was just like getting lower and lower and lower. And a lot of that was a very good piece of the premise for this podcast, the Leadership Locker. The leadership was just, to me, heinous. Now, look, I happen to serve in one of the most well-known and noteworthy organizations, military organizations there is in the Marine Corps. And I had some exceptional, exceptional leaders. And some of those leaders are no longer here today. So for me, leadership is critical, critical. So, you know, when I wasn't getting what I needed and when I had no one to really look up to, it was just unsettling. So you know what happened? I started acting like a complete asshole. I was changing. My character was changing. I was becoming angry. I was getting depressed. I was getting sad. I was overworking. And meanwhile, guess what? I had a baby. Yeah, like 2 months into it, 3 months into it. And that was during peak season. So that was kind of brutal. And I'll never, ever forget. This is how I really knew I was in the wrong place. We had a kind of get together before our launch in Austin, Texas. And it was a time where everyone in this certain department was going to be able to be together. And that would pretty much never happen again because of the way shifts are, you know, once you start. And when the person who was my operations manager at the time met my wife, she was one of my operations managers. She asked, she goes, you're pregnant. That's right. Did you plan that for during peak? And even though that was like a joke, it just shows the lack of unbelievable emotional intelligence that I was surrounded by, as if I was trying to squander my way out of work or whatever, or just like, you know, do you think that's really a funny joke? Like, it just told me everything I need to know. So as time went on, from the GM down, I was just like utterly disappointed. And then I really, really disappointed myself because I was just doing stupid things. It definitely got to the point where I was just doing plenty of things to get myself in a situation to get fired. And I think I was doing that because I just didn't give a shit. It was almost like a cry for help. You know, I was just like, get me out of here. I was totally willing to put my reputation on the line. I was ignoring consequences that certainly could come. But I always took care of my people. My shift was always performing. Everything was always good to go. And I was always looking for opportunities for other people to excel. And the people who worked with me and around me, they are what allowed me to stay for the 2 years that I stayed. So fast forward, there is a turning point. I'm supposed to go somewhere else. And I might not go to this other building now. And it's all these things were stacking up personally, professionally, like it was just getting kind of ugly. I've been drinking a lot. Like I said, my marriage was in trouble. I had no relationship with my daughter. And then it was just like this critical moment in your life where you have to act. And luckily, I'm not risk averse. So I quit, okay? Gone was our 5-bedroom, 5-bathroom house in Austin, Texas. We actually rented it, but gone was that, and we moved in with my in-laws in Blackstone, Virginia, and that was supposed to be about 2 months. About 2 months? Okay, cool. I will figure things out, I said to myself. My wife was working on commission, so I thought we'd be okay. Now we don't have a mortgage to worry about. We don't have this. We have built-in daycare and all this nonsense. But what did I do? Because I didn't have a plan, I just started kind of following my curiosities, which started with photography. So photography could be very expensive, okay? It's an expensive hobby. But if you think that's how you're going to make a living, it's even more expensive because then you start taking every webinar, going to every course, buying every camera, returning every camera, getting this, getting that. And I quickly realized, although I love Peter McKinnon and everything he's about, I was not going to be a Peter McKinnon, and it wasn't that I was going to give up. I just wasn't sure that I loved the process. So I really enjoy video. I love storytelling and video. So I was like, okay, so let me see what I could do here. So I started doing a little bit of work in this very small town of 3,000 people with a camera, kind of started bartering my way to, let's say I filmed a promo for a gym and I got a free membership for a few months, something along those lines, just little stuff. But in the background, this whole time while I was struggling at Amazon, and now I'm in Blackstone, Virginia, I had met someone extremely, extremely special who took some strange vested interest in me. And now she's like my soul sister, and I'm like a brother to her, and we're family and we're tight and we're very uniquely connected. And that person is Claude Silver. She is a chief heart officer at VaynerMedia. If you have been living under a rock, or you're not necessarily a modern day entrepreneur or anything like that, there is this gentleman named Gary Vaynerchuk, the Pied Piper of New York, the entrepreneur's entrepreneur. You cannot name an audience that he hasn't tapped into. World renowned speaker, motivator, truth teller, non-sugarcoater, swearing, cussing, the fucking man. Okay, this dude is the man. So, you know, I was reverse engineering from my time at Amazon while I was there. I'm like, what can I do? Who can I connect with? I just sent Claude a message. Little did I know it was going to turn into some mentorship. So she mentored me, and she was always the one who was telling me, you're more in the driver's seat than you think in your situation. but I just wasn't feeling it. So fast forward now, here I am spending all this money doing ridiculous things, thinking I want to do videography, talk to Claude. She completely was thrilled for me when I walked away from that situation. And by the way, there was a huge, huge weight lifted off my shoulders. I didn't really care that I didn't have a plan. I was so unbelievably relieved, and I just realized that my stress level was going to be a lot lower, and there'd just be different stressors, like living with your in-laws, you know, and not being a sustaining, you know, a father who's providing for his daughter necessarily, or, you know, a husband who's got us in this situation. But my wife is the one who gave me permission to kind of make this decision. What I mean by give me permission is she trusted me. So back to Claude. Claude trusted me too. Trusted me with what? She trusted me with making content for her. That was my play. That was my play. I was so deeply grateful for her, even though on paper you could look and say she hasn't done anything for you. It doesn't matter. It's how she made me feel, how she was a, you know, shore to swim to, how she just supported me as a total stranger and allowed me into her life, and how we would have lunch conversations and we never met. So that was my way of giving back. Claude, can I make content for you? So before I could even finish, she said, I trust you. I was like, okay. And then I shit my pants because I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. So for the next couple months, I would go to New York. And this is around September, October. I would go to New York. I'd drive an hour from Blackstone to Richmond, Virginia. Then I'd get on a train for 6 hours to New York just to be with Claude for like an hour, maybe. So we went and we filmed, and I filmed her. I filmed her on a panel, got to share a cab with her. And on the way home from the first panel I ever recorded her on, we're sitting there in the cab. She's looking out one way of the window. I'm looking out another way. And she just starts asking me like personal questions, like without hesitation. And I answer them without hesitation because there was just something about her. I'm like, yeah, let's do this. Then she starts talking to me about her life and things that to other people would probably seem deeply personal. So we hit it off on the very first time that I filmed for her. And the connection that we had formed virtually was now, you know, a physical face-to-face connection that just felt even stronger. So we get out of the cab and she goes, why weren't you filming that? And there it is. And that is what my business is now. I wanted to offer her something because I believe she deserves maximum visibility because of the value she brings to this world, because of her unique personality, because she's a wonderful woman inside and out. And there's a lot of us out there like that. So it took a few months, but I realized that is exactly what I wanted to do. So my business turned into making content for executives from A to Z, who are looking to become thought leaders in their space, who are looking to get their name out there, who have some value to offer, or highlighting leadership personnel within organizations. Why? Because no one cares about your organization. No one cares about your organization. People care about the people within the organization, whether it's just out of sheer curiosity or whether it's job seekers who want to know, you know, would I want to work there? That might be the deciding factor. But more importantly, my focus is on the personal brand. I help people tell their stories. I help people get on the map. And my team, which is growing every day, we do it. We capture the content, we film the content, we have the audio for the content, we edit the content, we produce the content, we distribute the content, and you don't have to worry about anything. So Claude, this is a huge roundabout way of saying thank you. Now, let me get back to why this podcast exists. I said service after service is something that is always going to happen. Well, my transition was not good, and I was prepared. I was talking to all the right people. I was all over LinkedIn. At least I thought. I was networking. I had an MBA. I had a good military career. I should have just crushed it. And landing at a job that you don't want to be at and in fulfillment, which made me unfulfilled, is not a successful transition. It was successful in learning. I knew what I didn't want to do, and it led me to entrepreneurship. But the transition was very difficult. So what about the people who don't have an MBA or who don't have a Marine Corps retirement, or the people who just served 4 years and got out and have no college? What about the people who have no idea how to get on LinkedIn? What about the people who want to break into the media space but have no idea what SEO is? What about the people who turn to alcohol because they are very discouraged in their transition process? It's not just about the job, it's about losing your tribe. You know, that's all you knew for however long you served. So maybe that's going to just have an adverse effect on you. Maybe you have PTSD. There's so many factors. So there's resources galore, right? Great news, everyone. There's resources galore. You have the USO, you have hire this, vet that. I mean, it is an oversaturated market. So what can I do to effectuate that? How about I interview influencers? How about I interview subject matter experts? How about I talk to people who haven't served? How about I talk to people who don't know what it's like to be part of rigid, structured, big green machine like the Marine Corps or the Navy or the Coast Guard? How about I talk to them? Let them share their expertise with transitioning service members and veteran entrepreneurs and anyone else who wants to listen so we could get it straight, no chaser. Here's how it is, because here is the hard truth. And this may be a deciding factor in whether or not you want to listen to this podcast or watch any of the video content associated with it. Nobody cares that you served. Nobody cares. People need personnel in a job because there's a problem that needs to be solved. Whether they're looking at it from a butts in seats perspective or I really need the right person or whatever. Your military experience and your ability to leverage it is enormous, but it just doesn't matter. You are getting out from a very unique experience that's extremely difficult for people to relate to. It's extremely easy for people to say thank you for your service. It's extremely easy for people to discuss their admiration for what you did. But it's just not easy for them to look at that and automatically qualify you as someone who should go to this school or get this job or be invited to an interview. And that is the cold, hard truth, okay? That is a cold, hard truth. So that is why I want help from these executives, these influencers, so they can tell you exactly what you need to do, because you're one of them now. You'll always be a veteran, but you're one of them now. I'm one of them now. I'm a civilian. It doesn't mean I'm not going to stop trying to give back and to mentor veterans, transitioning veterans, or be there for veteran entrepreneurs or share my lessons learned. But this is service after service for me. You know what? Because the people who fail to assimilate because they try and hold on to their service as the end all be all, and this is my tribe and this is where I belong, and I'm, you know, all these people are nasty, or how come they didn't give me a call back? My interview's shit hot. Look, those are the people that fail, and I don't want you to fail. I want you to win. I want you to consider the fact that your transition might help get you exactly where you want. If you listen to some of these people, if you follow some of my content, I would love for you to realize that entrepreneurship is actually a viable option for you. And I would love for you to enjoy your life. I want you to enjoy life. So that is the premise of the Leadership Locker. And from time to time, besides this, I will come on and I will share some of my stories, some of the good, some of the bad, and I will certainly share the ugly. But I will always remind you that settling will make you unsettled inside. It's no way to live. We're all here to help each other. We're all just trying to make it. And you know what? In a world that is flooded with the extremes, meaning everything you see here on social media, on the news, everywhere, it's either amazing or terrible. All right? An incredible act of humanity, or a hurricane, or this person was killed in the line of duty, or this person won $1 million. This homeless person got a free makeover from a local barbershop, or this person got deported. The actual meat and potatoes of our lives will probably be incredibly uneventful. And that is something that Mark Manson talks about. He's the author of The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. I highly recommend it. The majority of our lives are average. And if the majority of our lives are average and we can only actually effectuate pieces and series of moments, then you should just go for it. You should just go for it. Because you never know if you're going to become terminally ill. You never know if you're going to lose a loved one and fall into a deep depression. You never know if you might come across an incredible fortune by luck. You never know what's going to happen. So you have to position yourself in life in a manner which you're not going to just meander and fall in line. I have made so many crazy decisions because of my restlessness, but becoming an entrepreneur has been the best decision I've ever made in my life, and it is allowing me to have the capacity to approach social media as a platform to help others and to be there. We are going to start with Claude Silver and picking up about exactly just a year after we met in person. And then we're going to go into domestic abuse. And that necessarily isn't sharing expertise, but it is at the same time. I really would love to talk about entrepreneurial related skills that will help you transition. But Claude is a dear friend of mine, and she's working on something very special. And I wanted to talk to her about domestic abuse and relationships because it was current in her world on what she's working on, and it's relevant in the military world. So that is going to be what we discuss. And then we'll probably fall back in line to some subject matter expert skills about certain things that you can use to help you. Thank you for your time. Please subscribe. Please share the posts, the video posts associated. Please tell anyone who's in the service, who's out of the service, who's transitioning out of the service, who has family in the service, or who just wants some good leadership lessons from amazing people. This podcast should and will be a value add because that's how I do business. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Leadership Locker. For more about us, how we can serve you, and for other episodes, please visit richcardonamedia.com/podcast. If you liked this episode a lot or little, please don't forget to subscribe so that way my guests and I could continue to deliver some heat and get you the knowledge that you want. Don't miss an episode. Please join our Facebook group so you get much more exclusive content. Take care.